Hi, everyone, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen.
And on today's show, we're going to talk about the prison break that happened in Acts chapter 12. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
This is New Every Day with Jen Wagger and Carrie Webb.
Everyone, thank you for tuning back into New Every Day. We're so glad that you have tuned in to another week. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. We are making our way through the book of Acts. We've taken some breaks here and there to talk about other things, to interview some other people. And now we're back in chapter 12. So we usually just read the scripture. We talk about it. We insert random stories and kind of take you along for the ride to learn with us and, and talk about life.
And one of the reasons we do this is because scripture is alive and active. And so often you can just ask the question, well, I'm not really getting much from my scripture reading. Well, one of the ways of getting to increase your intake, I guess, would be read the scripture and talk about it with someone. And so this is an opportunity where we just sit down and we're like, this is what I read. Like, what do you think this means and how does it apply? Because God promised that he would meet with us through the scriptures. And we have been working through the book of Acts because it is the church in action. And so we're going to... this morning, or whenever you're watching, we are currently recording. It's a beautiful day, and the sky is blue, which doesn't really happen a whole lot in the wintertime. And in northern Canada.
It's freezing.
We're not really northern Canada to some
people.
No,
I don't think so.
So beginning, I'm reading from the J.B. Phillips version this morning, and he is an English or British commentator, I believe, or he's from the U.K., and this is how it begins. It was at this time that King Herod laid violent hands on some of the church members. James, John's brother, was he executed with the sword. And when he found this action pleased the Jews, he went on to arrest Peter as well. It was during the days of unleavened bread that he actually made the arrest. He put Peter in prison with no less than four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. So Peter was closely guarded in the prison while the church prayed to God earnestly on his behalf. And as we read this first passage this morning, the first thing, and that's one of the things when you're reading, like, what is it that catches your eye? That's one of the very first things that you do is you pray and you're like, Lord, as I read your scripture today, would you speak to me? Because if you're a follower of Christ, then you have been promised, according to 1 Corinthians, that the Spirit of the living God is alive in you and you can know the mind of Christ. So you can say, Lord, what is it that you want me to know today as I read your word?
And sometimes that is how he speaks through scripture. Is like, it'll seem like one verse seems to be highlighted.
Yes.
Or jumping out, and maybe that's where you need to stop and like ruminate on that a little bit. Like, what does this actually mean? Some people like to write it out. And maybe you might have a journal that you like to write down, or maybe you like to highlight it in the Bible. But that physical action also helps to imprint the memory of the actual verse in your mind. And then the Holy Spirit can bring that to your mind later in application in your life.
Yeah. And what's interesting is he says, as I read that first passage, two things, laid violent hands on some of the church members. But secondly, what stood out to me was during the days of unleavened bread. And I was like, what is unleavened bread? Like, as a pastor, I've read the Bible and I've said those words, but I've never really thought, well, why is that important? And so I went to a commentary. And how you do that, you can literally type in Feast of Unleavened Bread and what comes up. And I was like, wow, that's an, okay. So any ideas what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is? Do you?
Well, I have an idea.
Okay. What is it?
I think that it was post-Passover. So Passover is in Exodus.
Yep.
Right?
Exodus, like, 12.
So when Moses was bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt, God sent the plagues to kind of encourage or force Pharaoh to let the people go out of Egypt. And then the final plague was that of the angel of death, right? So the people in Passover had to take a lamb, and they slaughtered the lamb, and they took the blood of the lamb, and they put it on their doorposts. And if the Israelites had put the blood on the doorposts, then when the angel of death was coming to kill the firstborn, then it would see the blood on the doorposts and pass over that family who was in the house. And it didn't matter if it was just whoever was in the house. Doesn't matter if you were Israelite or not. If you were in the house and the blood was there, the angel of death passed over you. So that was Passover. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread was after Passover. When they were to get rid of all the yeast because they were leaving Egypt and they had to pack up real super fast. So the bread wasn't allowed to rise, so they didn't put yeast in the bread. Right? Because they were just going to throw the flour and water and whatever else you make bread with. I've never made bread myself. I purchase it. They would throw it on their backs and then hightail it out of Egypt, right? So there was no yeast in there. But later on, that was used as a symbol that maybe you can explain.
Okay. Well, she did a really good job.
Thanks.
And so as I
didn't know she was going to ask me that.
Was doing some research on this, yeast, and I didn't know this until this past summer, yeast naturally occurs in the air. Like we go to the store and we get the little package, we rip it open and we pour it in.
For all you bakers who have made bread.
I know, and you're like, these girls are nuts.
But you have made bread?
I have made bread. And you do go to the store and it needs to be fresh yeast. But what I didn't know is like in olden times, like probably in these times, they didn't go to the store because there wasn't quite the same. Anyways, they would make their bread and they would put it out because yeast naturally occurs in the air. And they would actually go, and it says they would go to grape leaves, and they would take the yeast, because it naturally occurs in the air, and pull it off, and they would put it in. Yeah, isn't that fascinating?
What do you mean, grape leaves? Like shake off?
They would go and collect it off, because it naturally occurs in the air. And so they could go and collect yeast, which was another reason why they weren't to put yeast in it, because that would take time. Like, when the time was called to go, they needed to go.
You're blowing my mind.
I know. Isn't that fascinating?
So like a yeast harvester? Like, it's like a baleen whale? Like collecting plankton from the air?
Maybe.
Like, that's weird.
I know. So, but that's why you could, if we wanted to make bread, we would put it out and we would let the natural yeast get into the bread. And that's where the kneading would come in as it falls on the bread. Yeah, and that way, and so if they wanted to increase the amount of yeast, they would actually go and collect it off of leaves and whatnot.
Just
because it naturally grows in the air, which is why, I know.
I need to think harder about this, okay?
Isn't it fascinating? And this is why, when you read the scripture, and that's why we're spending so much time on this morning, because you're like, I thought we were talking about prison. We're getting there. but when something stands out to you in scripture, you need to go and say, Jesus, why is this standing out to me?
Yeah.
So, you know, as I did the research, what's interesting is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to go and sweep the entire house.
Yes.
Free, because yeast is a sign of sin and the all-pervasiveness of sin. And so we are to actively clean out our house so that there was no yeast. Well, we are to actively clean out our lives because of the sin that is so pervasive. And the fact that they had to continually do this means like, okay, well, I've prayed the prayer, I'm done, sin free, I'm not going to sin anymore. And it's like, no, you have to actively, it says we are to press on, we are to work towards sanctification. Like there's some work in the actual, like where are areas that sin is so easily coming in, like into my thoughts and whatnot, and or my actions. And I was like,
so we're talking New Testament.
We're talking like still in the New Testament, because Paul says, continue to practice the feasts because they point towards Christ.
Right.
Which is just, and we normally in most Protestant churches, we don't, because we see them as Jewish feasts. And yet there's something like all of the feasts point towards Jesus. and who he is, mm-hmm. which is, it's like, because some people would say, well, no, you just throw out the Old Testament. There's no meaning. It doesn't talk about Jesus. And it's like, no, it points to Jesus. Like, real, even if you go back to Genesis 3, where original sin comes in,
yeah.
and even there it says, you know, Satan will nip at his heel, but the one who is coming will, you know, trounce on his head. He'll stomp on his head. And that's a foretaste of Jesus coming. And so the Old Testament is full of pointers towards Christ, and that's why it's so important that you don't just read the New Testament, mm-hmm. you read the Old in combination so you can see where it connects to Christ. And so, mm-hmm. you know, as I read through that, it once again, that one word, Feast of Unleavened Bread, I was like, I need to check that out. And what is the meaning? And you know, so I take that into my own heart, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't want yeast. I don't want sin creeping into my life because it's so pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is the second glance. You're walking down the street and you're like, whoa, he's hot, or whoa, she's cute. Like, you know, and it's the second glance, right? It's that pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeing a picture when you're sitting on the subway and go, wow, that, oh, you know, like, it's, sin is so pervasive that we have to take an active stance,
mm-hmm.
right, in sweeping it out of our lives. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, how do I live out that Feast of Unleavened Bread in my life? Like, it, uh-huh. it occurs in Scripture, the Passover and then the feast, and then there was another celebration. But it's like, I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want Jesus to help me clean out the yeast of sin in my life, because I don't want it sneaking in. I don't want it becoming pervasive. So
what's interesting about, like, the nature of yeast is that it only takes a small amount and then it pervades the whole loaf and causes that reaction. What's kind of interesting is that this feast came after Passover. And I was just thinking about how, you know, we try not to do what is wrong. And sometimes people get so caught up in striving and biting their lip and just trying not to sin all day. But after Passover came, that's like when the judgment of God passed over the people. And the blood of Christ, you know, in John, when Jesus was approaching John the Baptist... I don't want to say.
And so as she's looking that up, we're going to
take
right
a break.
Back.
I need a minute.
Whether you shop on ThinkGeek, GearBest, B&H Photo Video, eBay, or Amazon, or even if you want a free trial of Audible, you'll find the best deals and support the shows we produce by simply visiting the shopping sites you already frequent by using the links on our website. Visit category5.tv/partners for the full and ever-growing list and help us create more free content like this show. Thank you for shopping with our partners, and thank you for watching.
Hey, and welcome back, everyone. Thanks for staying with us in Acts chapter 12. And thank you to all of our partners mm-hmm. who make this show possible. Go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on our partners tab, and see all the organizations and businesses making this show possible. If you would like to make a donation to help us continue to do this, then we certainly invite you to do that. And there's opportunities on our partners page to do that. So
mm-hmm.
thank you.
I know we just want to jump right back in here because it's like, okay.
Yeah.
What do you have there in John?
Okay, so we were talking about Passover, right?
Yeah.
Man, we haven't even got to the prison break. There's just so much in this, like, initial verses in chapter 12. So, when Passover happened, the lamb was slaughtered. The blood covered the doorposts of the people in Israel. If you mm-hmm. go back and read this in Exodus. And that caused the angel of death to pass over. The judgment of God passed over. In the New Testament, in the book, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 29, this is talking about John the Baptist. So Jesus is coming. He's going to start his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
And he is our Passover lamb who was slaughtered, and now his blood covers us.
Yes.
Because the Bible also says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
And so his blood covers us. We are forgiven when we accept Christ
yes,
and
we
accept
are.
His forgiveness.
Yes,
and
we have full salvation.
Full salvation. And then He enables us to not sin. It says, like, the love of Christ compels us. I know what He did for me. I don't want any part of that sin. I don't want any of that yeast to sneak in and, like, permeate all of me, right? Because now I'm set apart for Christ because of what He's done, and I love Him. And I just find this very interesting that the unleavened bread, the sweeping out, the cleaning house, comes after the Passover, that Christ has come, He has forgiven us, and He is able to do the work in us.
Yes.
It's not about striving. It's about submitting to Christ.
Right. Oh, yes, totally. It's not like, oh, I have to get rid of the sin in my life. It's through the power of Jesus.
Yeah.
Would you break the strongholds? Would you show me where sin is coming in? Because as soon as it's striving, then pride and comes in and works comes in. But it says we are to join hands with Christ, right? And it's like salvation is fully covered with the blood.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's the full abundant life comes through the process of sanctification, because you have been saved, you are being saved, and you will fully be saved when we see Jesus face to face. It's this yes and yes. It's the whole gamut, because we struggle with sin. Mm-hmm. So we can't say, oh, I've accepted Christ, I'm done, I'm never going to sin again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true, because we both know Jesus, and yet we come, I'm so sorry. I can't, like, would you please forgive me? Because I have sinned against Carrie, and through the power of Jesus, He reveals the sin and my need for Him,
mm-hmm.
right? I can't work hard to change my heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus working in me, but
yeah.
I have to give Him permission to do that.
Yeah.
And so it is, it's that we have all, we don't need more Jesus. We need less of ourselves.
Hmm.
Right? So we have everything that we need for life and godliness. Paul is very clear about that.
Yeah.
We have everything we need. Like, our fridge is full of food, but we can still starve even
True.
Though we have food.
That's a good point.
Like, we have lots of food in the house.
That's a good
But until we actually open the fridge and do something with it, it's of no use to us.
Right.
So, like, we've paid for the food.
Yeah.
But it's just sitting there on the counter waiting for us to use it. And that's why, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread comes after the Passover. So it's not on us to clean out the sin, right, first, and then the Passover lamb comes.
Yeah, you don't have to get all in shape before you receive Christ. No,
they said pack everybody into your house first. Passover lamb comes, and now, with the blood of Jesus over you, let's work towards full sanctification. Like the two, we're joining hands together. It's nothing that we do on our own, because as soon as it's about works, then there's no Jesus in that.
Mm.
It's not like, look and see what Jesus is doing in me.
Yeah.
It's, well, look and see what I've been doing.
Right.
And that's the difference. So when we look at this, Herod really is, look and see what I am doing to make the Jews a peaceful nation. Because at the end of this chapter, which we'll eventually get to, God calls Herod on his selfish sinfulness, the look at me and see what I have done. Whereas the blood of the lamb, which sounds so weird because it's the mystery of Jesus, because of the Passover lamb, we see change in ourselves because of what He does in us. It's not about what we do. We have to appropriate it for ourselves to say, it's Jesus working in me. And so here's Herod laying violent hands on the members of the church, and he says this action pleased the Jews. So he went on to arrest Peter as well. And he put so many guards around him because he just didn't want him to get away. Like four sets of guards.
Which would be 4 times 4. That's 16 guards.
Yeah.
16 people to watch one guy.
Yeah. And so Peter was closely guarded while the church prayed to God earnestly on his behalf.
Do you know what's funny? Is like Herod knew, like, okay, I already killed one of them off. But then arrested Peter. So why did he think that he needed the four, like the 16 guards? It's very interesting. There was a piece in the back of his mind that said, there's something powerful going on, and I'm going to use all my might to try and stop it. And after that, we see this miraculous prison break. So we're going to come back next week and talk about that, and we hope that you'll come back and hear it as well. So, Jen, do you want to just pray for us?
Sure.
We'll go.
Dear Lord Jesus, here we are wanting to talk about a prison break, and we find ourselves talking about your son and what he's done in our lives. And so, Lord, we need the power of Jesus in our lives, at work in us, your power at work in us. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time that we could spend together. Wow, you're just so good. And so I ask that you'd be with our viewers to this week, and Lord, that they would, sit with your scripture and allow you to speak to them. And maybe it is just a word that catches their eye, and then they go and they ask you about it and do some research, and then they are moved to draw closer to you. So, Lord, we commit them to you. We thank you for your goodness and your love. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
Cheerio.
Yes, ma'am.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Kodi, Roku, Plex, YouTube, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 Pacific on Channel 33 Television for the High Desert.